I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Ball's got to go right. Look out, they may score on this play. Mannering, Johnson decides to come back in field. Johnson gets dancing. Johnson,
no way.
No way. Johnson has run over to score. This is incredible. This is ridiculous! This is 15 out of 10 on the incredible meter!
What about the last 5 minutes? Thank you to the football gods for letting us watch this.
Hello and welcome to the SC Playbook Weekly Wrap for Round 9 of the NRL. Okay, let's get into it. Thursday night footy, Panthers versus Rabbitohs. Yeah, Rabbits were backing up 2 days after sacking coach Jason Demetrio, Ben Hornby in there as interim coach. I thought the Rabbitohs showed a lot of heart in this game. They led, I think it was 10-0 or 12-0, and then, yeah, really their lack of fitness showed. Then Panthers are really good at low errors, keeping the ball in play, and they can grind away at teams, and they really test you out in your physical fitness. And I think one of the things that I've seen pointed out in some of the commentary is that South Sydney just aren't fit enough this year. You know, there's sort of a bit of an argument that it might be either the fact that they're down and they're, you know, a bit downhearted and they're giving up. But I feel they clearly look like they're not fit enough this year. So that sort of come through in the end. And also Panthers class, even without Cleary, just shone through in the end. But Rabbits, yeah, I mean, they'll do well not to get to Spoon. There's a few down there that are struggling. And the Panthers' four-peat hopes are well and truly alive, so we'll see how that plays out. Absolutely no one relevant for South to Supercoach at the moment. I think if you look on the horizon, I guess Latrell comes back. It's interesting to see what position he plays with possibly Jai Gray. I think he might have picked up an injury. Cody is starting to do some good things, and he's probably bottomed out around that 520K mark, but you'd have to see a bit more from the Rabbitohs as a whole before you could get him in. So at the moment, they're becoming a bit of an irrelevant Supercoach team. Unfortunately, Murray out injured for 4 to 6 weeks now. Okay, on to the scores for the Panthers. Dylan Edwards, 111, outstanding season. He's owned by only 10%. He's very expensive to own now. I think he's at 915K, and he's probably going higher as well, just pumping out some unbelievable scores. But for those people that are freeing up some money by getting Armstrong and Fuller, if he doesn't get picked in Origin, Dylan Edwards, I'm not sure what the Panthers draws like over that time. I mean, he is definitely blue chip, so you could spend a bit of your money on him. You're paying up, obviously, but he's just consistently pumping out 90-plus scores. I think he's probably averaging somewhere around the 95 now, 90 to 95, and that's good gear if you can get it. Brad Snyder, 89. Like I spoke about this a few podcasts back when he was in the side for Cleary, but he's the ultimate what they call handcuff. If you were just going for two players in that position and just having to play one of them, you could have just gone with him and Cleary, and when Cleary doesn't play, he fills in and does it really well. Nice try there. So, but obviously with our halfbacks, you know, we've got some quality halves there with Nico, SJ and that. So it's not really as relevant in NRL. It's more of an NFL thing. Sunia Taruva, 89. Doesn't look like slowing down. A lot of ball going to that right-hand side. So he's done well. Taylan May, hallelujah, an attacking stat. That's been coming for a while, 74. Yeah, look, I think he's still a trade-out, to be honest. I'll have a bit of a chat about it later because I think Timmy's asked a question about the whole Panthers left side. But, yeah, I think Taylan May might well be a trade-out. Brian To'o, 34, came back down to earth after that massive effort last week against the Cowboys where no one could tackle him. I think he had 17 tackle breaks or something like that. The ball really didn't go his way. Okay, on to the early Friday night game. Raiders 26 points defeated Manly Seagulls 24. Strange game, but the Raiders just hung in there and it turned for them. And well done to them. Like 20-0 down, they'd got flogged 40-0 the week before. So, geez, that shows a lot of belief, a lot of courage. I mean, a few things went their way as well in terms of bounces of the ball, but a few things went against them to get 20-0 down, if that makes sense. So, yeah, it was strange the way the game flipped around and the Seagulls sort of almost lost interest. I mean, they're losing these games that they probably should be winning and it could cost them at the end later in the season, although there's teams around them that are sort of win-loss as well. So there's a real middle pack there and, you know, apart from sort of Penrith and the Melbourne Storm, there's no one really showing any type of consistent winning form out there. Cronulla, Melbourne and Penrith. Okay, let's have a look at a few of the scores. Reuben Garrick, didn't bring him in, 102. Got another couple of tries. I'm not sure about him, but he does cover, well, he likely covers fullback when Tommy Turbo plays Origin. I think Turbo is probably a must for Origin. For New South Wales Origin, he might play on the wing, he might play centre, could even play fullback, who knows. But I think that sort of makes Garrick a must, and he's had two big weeks now, so he's just going to get more and more expensive. So it'll be tempting to bring him in. I don't have any boosts left, and I really want to bring in Dom Young and Joey Manu, but I might just have to go for... I'll have to do that over a few weeks in terms of bringing in Garrick, but I'm sort of stacking my centre wings here a little bit. And you can do that because there's a few cheapies. Trey Fuller there. I'm not sure how long he'll hold on for, but also Armstrong is freeing up a lot of cash. Tommy Turbo, 92. Geez, he looked like he was going to go huge. I was at junior footy and I saw the halftime score and I thought, oh, this could be anything. But he only pumped out a 92. He's done that a couple of times, had really big first halves and then not as big second halves in terms of Supercoach. So as a person who traded him to Trey Fuller this week, I was sort of happy with that. I did lose about 50 points on the trade, but probably made a fair bit of money on Fuller. And if Fuller can hang on for one or two more games, it'll be well worth it. DCE, 72. Luke Brooks, 41. That's about what he's pumping out at this stage. So he's not really given owners a lot after a lot of hype earlier in the year. From a lot of people in Supercoach circles, I think, you know, 40 to 60 is about his range. Jason Saab, 21. Very risky play. He looked exciting with the upcoming draw, but when he goes low, he goes very low. So for the Raiders, Elliot Whitehead, not really relevant, but 107, a couple of tries. Maybe a try assist there. Morgan Smithy's 49, which is solid. And those some people still have Xavier Savage. I think he's a sell now, 18, just because they're not playing a lot of attacking footy. The Raiders, I mean, yeah, sure, they got 26 points, but some of them were sort of basically off defensive plays. Like one bounced off a shoulder and landed in Whitehead's arms and he just ran under and scored a try under the post. So it's sort of one of them games where you had to watch it to believe what was actually happening. But fair play to the Raiders. They're hanging in there, and they're still a top eight hope with all these bigger fancies losing like the Warriors and Cowboys and things like that. Late Friday night game, Roosters took it out 40 points to 18, winners over the Bronx. Obviously the big storyline, Adam Reynolds, torn bicep, out for 3 months. So that means he will be back probably a couple of weeks before finals. Are the Broncos still a chance of winning the comp? I am not prepared to put a red line through the Broncos because it's, I think I said this last week, it's about them getting through,
getting that top four position, which I think they should go close to doing it. I mean, if Cronulla keep doing what they're doing, and they probably will because they've got a really soft draw, it means one of the other big four will miss out on a top four position. So you're looking at Panthers, Melbourne, Roosters and Broncos. Like, they're the ones that I see as the real powerhouses of the competition. So if Cronulla is able to keep it up, then they're going to keep one of them out of a top four position. And the Broncos with Reynolds out, yeah, they're looking a little bit vulnerable there. They can still win games, I think. Like, Jock Madden's a, he's a fair downgrade, but they are grooming him to take over from Reynolds. So this is a great opportunity for him to show that he's up to it. Ezra Mann looked like he stepped up on the weekend. Obviously, a lot hinges on how Reece Walsh plays in a, on a week-to-week basis, but I'd like to back him in most weeks to do more good than bad. He throws a lot of things out there. He's a real gunslinger. If anyone follows the NFL, he is the Brett Favre of NRL. You know, Brett Favre used to come out and throw four picks, four interceptions, and then he'd come back and lead his game, lead his team to a win. And his stat line would be, you know, five touchdowns, four interceptions and 550 yards, which is crazy. But yeah, like, Reece Walsh is like that. He's going to give, he's going to make some errors. He's going to give up some tries, but he's going to get them back on the attacking side as well. So a lot of it comes down to him and Ezra Mam, and they've got the pieces there with Payne Haas and Carrigan and, you know, pretty solid back rowers and outside backs. So I think the Broncos are still, I wouldn't be putting a red pen through them for winning the competition. The Roosters, they're just humming. They've turned it around. They were on the rack of like two or three weeks ago. I think it's maybe 3 weeks ago they were talking about Robinson's job, which has never really come up. But now 2 weeks make a big difference, and they seem to have really clicked. And, yeah, they're moving forward big time. And I think a lot of it's on the back of, well, obviously, you know, Sam Walker came back and had that great game. But, you know, Angus Crichton is playing some really good footy. He could find himself in Origin, to be fair. Let's have a look at the scores. Ezra Mam, 84. Is he an option for the 5-8? He's not going to play Origin. Even if Munster were to get injured, I think Dearden is the next off the shelf. So he's had scores in the last four games of 74, 45, 95, and 84. You'd imagine his involvement would just be more now that Reynolds is out. So he's one to keep an eye on. He's not a player that I'm thinking about bringing in. I'm pretty happy with my 5-8s at the moment. But, yeah, I'll keep a close eye on him because he could be a player to bring in. Payne Haas, 52, a bit down on his normal standards there. Reece Walsh, 51. That included two goals and a try contribution. He just doesn't have the base for mine. Like, that's why there was a lot of people who brought him in, I think it was last week or the week before, and I didn't really buy into it. I didn't really see him as an option. I think he's great to watch NRL, and he'll pump out some good scores because he'll have some incredible attacking games. But just watching him, what he does doesn't necessarily correlate to high Supercoach scoring, whereas you watch another player like, say, a Nicho Hynes is a great example, and you won't think he's done that much, but he's just accumulated a lot of Supercoach scoring, and he can often get a lot in updates as well. So, yeah, for mine, Reece Walsh is not a player I'm going to be considering. There has to be a fairly big shift for me to consider him. I guess now he gets the goal kicking, so that doesn't make him more appealing. But, yeah, I'm going to stay away from him. Angus Crichton, 151. He is back. Probably plays Origin, like I said before. Connor Watson, 125. So that was his fourth 80-minute game in a row. And in those four games, he's averaged 77. Problem is, Radley's back soon. I was getting really excited about it, actually. I was thinking, Connor Watson, how good's this? You know, he's going to be the 13. And I just totally forgot about Victor Radley, who's been in career-best form. So he'll come back, and Watson will go back to being a number 14. Terrell May, a lot of people sold him and his brother. And, you know, I think I even suggested it and thought about doing it, but I ended up sticking strong with him, and I'm happy that I did. He obviously got the two tries. He got reasonable time. I actually thought he didn't get onto the field for a fair while. I think it was maybe he got on with 11, I don't know, somewhere between 8 8 and 15 minutes to go in the first half. So owners would have been pretty worried because they started with Nafahu White. I missed the start of the game, and I didn't know whether he'd been on and then come off. But then he played out the rest of the game. He was able to jag those two tries and got the 120. But his minutes distribution is still a bit of an issue because JWH comes back into that side. They've obviously got Lindsay Collins. White's playing really good footy. And Egan Butcher seems to be getting a fair bit of time as well. Throw into the mix that Connor Watson will probably get some time in the middle off the bench because he'll come on and spell Brandon Smith, but I think Robinson will be really impressed with what he's done the last four games, playing 80 minutes straight, so he'll want to play him some big time as well. So I'm not 100% sure that Terrell May is a long-term hold, but certainly the 120 was exciting. James Tedesco, 112, he's flying. Biggest question now is, will it be him or Edwards? And whoever misses out on Origin, I mean, they could get called in because of injury or losing a game, so you got to be wary of that. But you probably want them in your side, the one that misses out on Origin, because their teams are going so well and they're going so well individually. Dom Young, 84. He's on my hit list for this week, like I said. Joey Manu, 83, on my hit list for this week as well. He's a bit like Garrick. I mean, if Teddy does get picked for Origin, you know Joey's going to go back and play fullback, and he's just going to have a huge base and probably jag a few tries as well. So he's just going to be a must-have. Sam Walker came back to earth a bit, 40. But, yeah, just looking at the Roosters, I'm actually prepared to stack a few Roosters players in there just looking at their draw. They play Warriors, Sharks, Raiders, Cowboys, Eels, Bulldogs, Tigers, Saints. So I didn't want to go too far, but it is a really good draw to finish. I mean, like, you could say the Warriors and the Sharks is a toughish game, but then they hit Raiders, Cowboys, Eels, Bulldogs, Tigers, Saints. Like, that is a cracking run. So, yeah, in terms of matchups, awesome draw for the Roosters. Okay, on to our first question from Timmy Williams.
G'day, Wals. First one for the night, mate. Your Warriors. The right edge just looks a lot slower this season than last season, I should say. As a recent Darlingwood-Tenny Zalesniak owner the last 3 weeks, could not have timed that any worse to coincide with their poor form. What do you feel this comes down to, and why do you think it's happening?
Yeah, great question, Timmy. Obviously, Coach Webster and Sean Johnson are not happy with how that right side's running either, because they've been chopping and changing their edge back rower there. So Ford's moved there in the last couple of weeks, and he's always sort of played on that left-hand side. And he actually cost DWZ a try today because he ran straight at the chest of Hastings. Pretty smart play from Hastings, but I mean, just for a little bit of a step in or pull up your run or whatever, just you look at them and get so frustrated, and coaches must get frustrated because that was a great try that they ended at a key point in the game where he scored in the corner there. Good finish by DWZ, but who didn't have a really good game at all apart from that. But but Jackson Ford just, you know, you can't expect to get a try when you do that as a lead runner. They're pretty consistent on it. I guess with Capewell and Nyokora being injured, that's hurt their combinations on that right-hand side. When I think back to last year, they had pretty consistent runners on that side and, like, just pure good line runners like Josh Curran and Murata Nyokora. Like, they were the two main ones that played there. And SJ knew that if he hit that short ball, he's going to have hard runners there. And they got to a stage where they were so focused on that runner, whether it was Nyokora, whether it was Josh Curran, that it opened up the sort of face ball, the double block, they call it, where they'd have the edge back roll, but he'd go a cutout pass and he'd hit Rocco Berry. And that was very effective. I haven't seen him do that too much this year because they just haven't really nailed the timing of it. They're out of whack, and that may have to do with the constant chopping and changing of combinations. So teams, I think, have also adjusted to the shape. Like, they've seen the shape. They've had a chance to study it on video, the coaches over the offseason, and they're defending it better. So, but I do, in general, feel like they're missing that straight running of Niokora and Curran from last year. Whatever it is, they need to fix it, and quickly. Supercoach-wise, I'd be steering clear of any Warriors right-side players until you can see some evidence of improvement. I mean, generally over the origin period is a good time to get in Warriors players because most of them are Kiwis and, you know, they score pretty well and they tend to go pretty well because they face some oppositions that, that have origin-depleted sides. But, yeah, they've got a lot – they're having some a lot of issues with their attack. And I've heard Webster talking in press conferences, and a lot of the times he's talking about what we need to fix up is our defense. And he's right. Like, some of the missed tackles today, like the one-on-one missed tackles, particularly by outside backs, were really poor. But, yeah, the Warriors, they're in a hole at the moment. I think it's the type of competition where they could make a run and still make the eight, but they've definitely probably put pay to their top four aspirations, which is a bit of a shame. Okay, Super Saturdays kicked off with the Bulldogs defeating the Tigers 22 points to 14 after the Tigers led 14 points to 6 at halftime. Seemed to have the game in control, but you weren't really sure which way it was going to go because neither team was really, you know, sticking their hand up and saying, you know, we're taking this and this is going to be our game. It wasn't a great game, to be honest. It didn't reach any great heights. I mean, there's been a lot of commentary of it, and I don't want to pile on, but I did feel like the referee struggled a little bit to control the game, and it did spill over at the end. But the Tigers need to be better disciplined. Like, the game was still on the line, and blokes are getting sent to the sin bin, and they can't control themselves. Aiden Caesar gets a 4 to 5 week break now for his tackle there. At the hip drop, which was pretty bad. He probably should have gone to the bin there as well. The bunker, I mean, while we're talking about refs, I feel like someone had a holiday in the bunker. Like, they must have gone to a wedding or something, and they had this new person in the bunker for the majority of the weekend and made some really head-scratching calls. And normally the bunker's pretty solid. Like, I'm a real big advocate for it because I think they see things that the referees don't see, and they help them by tipping them into it. And then when you go to them, they generally make common sense calls. But this weekend, just across the board, there was some real head scratchers. So I'm not, and the voice sounded different. Like, I watched a lot of footy, and like the voice of the person who was doing it sounded different in the way they were explaining it. So yeah, well, if someone can fill me in what happened there, I don't know, but it wasn't good. I feel like Tigers moving forward, they've got some wins in them. But they're going to need some luck and some calls to go their way. They're going to be playing with two rookie halves now. I guess Finu will get his chance to come into the halves alongside Galvin, unless they were going to bring Sullivan back, but he seems to have been banished to reserve grade, or maybe he's injured. But I think Finu deserves a chance. I really like the look of Finu, the half. He's strong in the hips. He defends really well. They've been playing him a dummy half, and he's not a dummy half. He stands up to pass the ball, so it'll be good to get him out of that position. So obviously Appy back would be huge for him as well. Bulldogs got a professional win. I mean, the Dogs can't drop games like that if they want to make the eight, and by winning a game like that, it really puts them into a position to make the eight, which is not something I thought I'd say this year. So they just got to keep doing what they're doing. I think their middle forward depth is going to be apparent towards the end of the year, but they could pick up some mid-season trades. You never know. They're still staying active in the market, and they're playing with a real spirit. And, yeah, they're doing some good things. I mean, like, the turning point of the game, funnily enough, was probably a bad pass that come from dummy half. I'm not sure if it was Marnie, but it was a long pass, and it sort of bounced into Burton's hands, and he sort of inadvertently just took off and split Caesar and Papali'i on the edge, and then he passed it off to Zeri. There was nothing happening at the time, but fair play to him. Like, everyone just froze when the ball bounced on the ground, and he showed his speed and skill, and he's playing some good footy, Burton. So on to the scores. Matty Burton, just talking about him, 73. I think he's got to be a big chance of being New South Wales 5'8". You know, I think he's playing really good footy, and he'll come into calculations there. I can't imagine who they'd pick instead of him. But I guess they've got Luai, Cody Walker, all this talk of Jack White. No, I don't see it. I mean, I think he's playing some of the best footy I've seen him play in the left centre position, so I wouldn't be moving him from that position. If you want to pick him as a left centre, and you've got plenty of blokes there to pick, like you've got a fit Stephen Crichton and Tommy Turbo in there and, you know, possibly the Trell. But, yeah, I would not be picking Jack White at 5'8 if I was New South Wales. Josh Curran, 63, kick chase try really helped with his score. His minutes seemed down, which is a bit of a concern. Bronson Zeri, 52, got that good try from backing up. He's been good for owners. Jacob Carraz, 48. That's about the bottom base for Carraz. So he's a solid centre wing. I know he's Desi Creek, 2019 Supercoach champion. Probably always listens to the weekly wrap. I don't know, actually. I haven't actually asked Desi, but I'll give him a few shout-outs. But he loves Jacob Carraz. He really does, and he's a big advocate for him. And on the theory that he's going to get you 45-50 as a bottom sort of score, and then any attacking, like if he can get a try assist or if he can get a try, then that's going to put him up near the 90 to 100 mark. So it's a fair theory. It's working out in practice. So Sam Hughes, 39. He's playing great footy in the middle there. Some people still have him. Bateman, 70. Another good score from Bateman. I'd steer clear of him, though. He's got some discipline issues, and they're starting to get pretty frustrated, the Tigers, with losing. So he could certainly be one. He does something silly two or three times a game, like just blatant penalties. And I think there's going to be a bit of a crackdown on these cynical penalties that are being given. But there was a couple in the St. George Dragons versus Cronulla Sharks game. I think one of them was Sloan. He just knocked the ball out when they were clearly on the attack to stop a quick play of the ball. I thought he was lucky not to get sent for 10. And then the other one was the winger, Tui Polotu, tackled Katoa when he kicked the ball forward. Like, he didn't even look like bending down to pick it up. So I wouldn't be surprised if Annesley comes out and says, look, we're going to direct the referees to really penalise these cynical plays by, and they're basically professional fouls.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
They are professional fouls. So if you're doing a professional foul, then you should, by the laws of the game, be going and spending 10 minutes in the sin bin. Anyway, I got a bit off track there. Samuel Afino, 48, solid. No attack in that, but he played 80 minutes. So you got to be happy with that. You get him at front row forward. You can put a front row forward out there who you got relatively cheaply, and he's going to play 80 minutes for you. He'll get attacking stats. They'll come. They'll definitely come. So stick solid with him. I mean, it hurts him a little bit that Galvin is more of a runner and he likes to get the ball a lot and head back inside. But once he really appreciates and develops a combination with Finu, that's going to be really good moving forward for the Tigers. Galvin, 45, he might have peaked. He's probably a sell, but I'm happy to hold him at the moment until I find someone that I really want to go to. Munster's going into Origin. I think you got to have Dylan Brown. You know, you could take a swing at the fences on someone like Ezra Mam, or you might bring in Max Plath because you know he's going to give you a solid 50. And if he gets any attacking stats, he'll give you a sort of 60, 70, 75. Okay, on to the next game. Another great escape by the Melbourne Storm. winning 22 points to 20 over the Titans. Can't help but feel that all these close wins where little things are going the Storm's way, so a lot of calls, a lot of bounces of the ball. I think footy karma could come back and bite them, like when it matters most in a semi-final, and I hope for Storm fans that's not the case, but there's been a lot of things going their way with these close wins they're having. They're hanging on. It shows that they can win a lot of different ways, which is really good, and it's solidifying their position on the ladder as they come into Origin, because they obviously lose Harry Grant, Munster, and that's about it. But that's their spine. I can't think of anyone else who plays. But they're big losses, but in the Melbourne system, it'll be next man up mentality. So, but yeah, I thought the Titans were gutsy and very, very unlucky. Like the Tigers, they didn't get a lot of calls. But I must say, the ref, Belinda Sharp, the other female ref, she's refereeing really well. And she did well in this game. But some, yeah, like I said before, the bunker, yeah, there were some real head scratches there from the bunker. And I think Kieran Foran did really well to control himself at the end there, because one of those calls was right at the end and he couldn't believe it, but he did well. So have a look at a few of the scores. Brimson, he is absolutely electric. 104. He does need the attack stats, but he's getting them and he's putting himself in those positions. I guess you worry a little bit about Jaden Campbell. Where will he come back? But I don't think that Des Hasler can really move Brimson in the way he's playing currently. You also worry about sort of, I think he's had a lot of hamstring injuries because he's an explosive athlete. So there's a few downsides to Brimson, but I couldn't knock people getting him in. Phil Sammy, 78. He got a try. They didn't think he really scored there, but he's a good player. He can break a lot of tackles as well. And Dave Fifita, 84. Played a full game for the first time, I think, this year. Desi's been bringing him off the bench after about 15, 20 minutes, and he's been exploding. He looked gassed, but he's getting in there, and he's really taking a lot of runs, making a lot of tackles. Sometimes you want him to sort of stay out of it a little bit more and then explode into the game when it suits him a little bit more, but certainly can't knock his base. 84, did some really good attacking things. Love those runs where he runs across and just breaks tackles. Interesting news today. Just heard it before I came in and recorded the potty, was that he's actually meeting with Ivan Cleary to possibly go down to the Panthers. So that would be a major, major blow for the Gold Coast Titans. They'd be in full rebuild mode if they lost David Fifita. But, yeah, we'll see what happens there. For the Storm, Pappenhausen, 73, obviously an injury. It was initially diagnosed to be 6 to 8 weeks. Now they're talking 4 to 6, which is not as bad, but very unlucky for owners. He looked like doubling that score at the time he got injured. Sean Bloor, I thought, was really good. I've been an advocate for him, 65. He looked really good on that left edge. And one of the arguments was that Munster, that left edge back rowers outside Munster hadn't really done that well in the past, but they were different type of players. Like Kenny Bromwich was really a player who liked early ball, a bit like Dave Fifita does, and he would ball play off that. Whereas Bloor is just, he is a massive human. Like just to look at him physically, he's a physical specimen, and he's going to cause some troubles on the edge, and he's been given a license to offload, which is great. So when he does those offloads, particularly if he punches through the line and, you know, if you don't take him high and you get a Remus Smith or Munster or Pappenhausen that pushes through off his shoulder, he's going to get a lot of line break assists. And I think in the end, like they actually handled him quite well defending there. I think it was Randall was there for a while, and then they swapped over and put Foran on that side because he was having a bit of trouble. But they were tackling him okay. They just couldn't wrap up the ball. He was just offloading it. Munster, 58, solid. Grant, 57, solid. Eliezer Katoa, a bit unlucky. Missed out on that try. 45, that's solid. Suofar Longo, 40. What a try. I mean, he's probably going to come into a fair few teams if he's healthy. you know, just a straight swap for Pappenhausen. Be a pretty good option, I'd say.
Okay, on to the Dolphins getting the big upset against the Cowboys, 28-6. The Cowboys really got what they deserved on this one. Their defense is suspect and just got no resilience at all. The Dolphins showed that spirit. You know, their depth has been severely tested with the number of players that they've got out, but they just continue to find ways to win games. Interesting thing is Hammer is due back round 11. Where does that leave Trey Fuller? Does he come back earlier? Does he come back next week? So some would say probably back in Q Cup after that game. I mean, he had a really rough night. But to be fair, I've seen some fullbacks. Like, I remember a couple of weeks ago, Drinky had a night like that as well. Just couldn't catch a ball. And, you know, to be fair, Jake Clifford was really nailing those floating bombs. And I think, given the chance, Trey Fuller will bounce back. And I'm hoping that Bennett gives him that chance so he can earn some more money as well. He ended up getting the 39, which isn't great for owners. But clearly, like, those errors played into it. And I think he's a player that'll score 50 or well above, you know, if he gets a dry track as well. I think it was dry up there, but it was like definitely greasy and the conditions didn't suit him. And definitely, yeah, the bombs were outstanding by Clifford. I think he's going to really push for a spot there with Chad Townsend. Okay, having a look at a few of the scores. Tommy Dearden, 87. Ruben Cotter, big minutes, and the try was great for owners, 99. Scotty Drinkwater, 96. You expect that of him in a game like that, an attacking game at home. So good for owners, but not outstanding. Jerome Nanai, yeah, 89, two tries. He's in form, but he's also got Origin coming up, so I don't think he's a bring-in. Reece Robson, 75, really solid. Val Holmes, probably one of the worst defensive games I've seen him play. Cody Nikorima gave him an absolute bath out on, you know, his left edge defensive side. And yeah, Cody Nikorima, one of the better games I've seen him play. But 59 still for Supercoach, and that's what Val does. He just continues to deliver. If you're an owner, like, that's basically as low as he gets, around that sort of high 40s to 60 mark. And obviously we know how big he can go. Jermaine Asaka, 151. Shout out to Timmy Williams, who brought him in this week. So what a great call. He hadn't been doing too much all year. He sparked up a little bit last week, but certainly this week, I think he got three tries and kicking them from everywhere. Cody Nikorima, 102. Like I said, best player on the field. Probably the best I've seen him play as well. So really stood up. JMK, 52, which is solid. Max Plath, 52. A little bit down what he's been doing, but solid. Trey Fuller, 38 or 39, I think he ended up with. Bit disappointing for people who traded out maybe like a Turbo or someone for him, but he'll still earn owners over 120K, and he's probably set to earn more as well if he gets another game. Just hopefully he can get one or two more games and really make that trade worthwhile. Okay, on to a second question from Timmy Williams.
Mate, we've seen this year's Penrith left edge. It's just been a no-go zone. Taylor May finally got across the line with a runaway try against the Bunnies, but basically Taylor May, Brian To'o, they've become almost irrelevant. Jerome Luai, obviously a bit of an issue there. I love stepping in field, going himself. Why do you think it is this way, though, and why they're struggling so bad? And has it always been this way with left-edge Panthers players?
Yeah, to be honest, Timmy, I'm not sure why Panthers are so right side dominant in attack, but they definitely are. There's no doubt about it, with or without Cleary. So I was happy with that Taylor May got his try, but like I said before, he's a trade out for mine. He's probably going to go to one of Garrick, Manu, or Dom Young over the next week or two. So he's not an urgent trade out, obviously, after just getting that score, but. Yeah, I don't know why the Panthers are so right side dominant, but they are, and that hurts Taylor May and it hurts Brian To'o. Sunday footy, and this was an absolute bludger of a game, as Matty Johns would say. Newcastle Knights, 14 points to 8 winners over the New Zealand Warriors. It was terrible weather.
Knights were gritty and they defended really well. Torrential rain for large parts of the game, so that made it really tough for the handling, although the Warriors did a pretty bad job of it. I mean, they dropped a lot of ball, gave away a lot of penalties. It was a very stop-start game, a lot of penalties, a lot of drop balls. I mean, it's easy to overreact in a game that's played in the wet, but the Warriors, they've got some issues. I mean, yeah, this is going to be a real challenge for Webster. He's had a bit of a honeymoon period, and now he's going through a period where they're expected to win, they're expected to go well, and they're not. They're not going well at all. And the biggest challenge for him is, I don't know how many times last year he had to drop a player or he had to drop a number of players and make changes. And I think he's in that position now. There's a couple of players that possibly have got too comfortable there. I think some of the outside backs aren't playing really good footy. I don't think he'll drop Dallin Martinez-Lesniak, but he's been poor the last couple of weeks. Marcelo Montoya, he would have to be a chance of getting dropped as well. Rocco Berry hasn't been playing that well, so they're not getting what they need out of the outside backs. I mean, Roger Tuivasa-Sheck's putting in every week. Charles Nicol-Klokstad's still doing a pretty good job for mine. He did give away that try off the kick, but that could happen to any fullback. But yeah, even Tamari Martin, after a couple of good weeks, he's looking pretty shaky. I'd say that if Chanel Harris-DeVita was fit and available, he might be pushing very hard for that spot. So let's have a look at a few of the... Oh, I just want to make a comment. I don't want to sound like a sore loser, but just on that play where I think the Warriors deserve to lose the way they played, but the one where Dallin Martinez-Lesniak catches the ball on halftime and he gets tackled in the air, again, that was like what I was talking about before, those cynical type plays. Like, he was tackled before he even caught the ball by Marzu. Now, that's just a clear and blatant breaking of the rules by the player to try and save a try. I don't understand how that's not a penalty try to start with. I mean, they could argue, oh, well, if he didn't tackle him in the air, then maybe he hits the ground and he could hold him up or something like that. But he did tackle him in the air. So I sort of feel like if you do a foul play that leads to a no try in the...
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Goal, it should almost automatically be a penalty try, but maybe that's an overreaction. But at very worst, surely it's a sin bin because it's a professional foul. It was a foul that was done just blatantly and cynically to stop an attacking play, and it was clearly against the rules because you can't tackle players in the air. That's the rules. So yeah, I was a bit disappointed with that one. David Armstrong, 26, tough game for him at fullback. I know I wouldn't let that dissuade you from bringing him in, but it does certainly not make him a must bring in next week because he hasn't punched out two big scores. Like, I think you can sit on him for a bit. Like, it might cost you a little bit of money, but like in my position, I've freed up a lot of cash with Trey Fuller. So I'm happy to, you know, bring in a couple of big names like Joey Manu and maybe Ruben Garrick or Joey Manu and Dom Young and spend my money there. Greg Marju, 62, was a good bounce back to form. Timmy Williams has been talking about him for a while, so he's probably one to watch. He's starting to get back to that tackle break ability, and it wasn't really an ideal game for someone like him. So keep a close eye on him. He could be a bring in at some stage. Dane Gagai, 60. Jaden Brayley, surprisingly low minutes. Phoenix Crosland came on and played a lot of the game. I'm starting to wonder where he was injured, but he came back on late and made a couple of key tackles where the Warriors looked like they were going to crash over. One was on Adam Fanua Blake, and another one was on maybe Jackson Ford, I think. So he's a key player to him, but at the moment can't really trust Jaden Bradley's minutes. Kai Pierce-Paul, 51, that's solid. For the Warriors, Charles Nickel-Klokstad, like I said, tough game for fullbacks, 39. You take that. Dallin Martinez-Lesiak, 19, probably should have been more with the try. Roger Tuivasa-Sheck, 48. He's just getting those at the moment. He's not getting a lot of clean ball. Wasn't a day for outside back, so you take 48 every day of the week. Tamari Martin, 21, struggled. Sean Johnson, 44. Adam Fanua Blake was probably the Warriors' best player again, 66, and Egan, 39, so not too much to write home about there. Okay, on to the last game, and just came off the back of that straight into the podcast. So Sharks taking it out, I think 18 points to 10 was the final score. It was just a tough derby game between these two teams. The Sharks probably looked to have the edge for most of the game. I mean, until Ben Hunt can become more consistent in games, like, he's very inconsistent. He'll do some really good things, and then he'll go out, and some of the times, like, you're just wondering whether he's a player that overthinks it. I'm not really sure, but some of his fifth tackle options really hurt his side. And, yes, the players around him need to get better, but I think on this occasion, if you look at that game in isolation, I think Ben Hunt had a fair bit to do with the difference between winning and losing with the Sharks versus the Dragons. Nico was great. He injected himself after quick play of the Bulls. I think the biggest question mark over Nico, and they're trying to remedy a lot of the things that, you know, I've always been a person on here who doesn't feel like he's a player that can take him to the premiership. But I think this year he's definitely made some good changes and he's been better, particularly defensively. When I saw him come off his right and go straight into a gap, I think that's another positive. You don't see that very often. He tries to slide in between two players. But the more they can square him up and he can play straight, the better he's going to be. But, yeah, he's playing some great footy. He's a super coach, absolute super coach, colossus. So you've got to have him. In terms of playing Origin at six, I was listening to some commentary and I sort of agreed with it. I think he is just a dominant ball playing halfback, basically, like whether he wears seven or six, but I don't think he can be that with Cleary in the side. So I don't think at this stage he's an option for New South Wales at six. Okay, having a look at a few of the scores. Cal Iro, 60. Real good tackle. Made a couple of errors, but just real good tackle break ability. Strong carry. Strong defender. Mulitalo, 41. Was back to a bit of that silly stuff that he does. Like, he was getting into Rabalawa's face, and that I hope that doesn't come back into his game too much. Brayley playing outstanding footy. Blake Brayley, 51. And Nico Hines, 95, which was good for those people who captained him. Zach Lomax, very acceptable, 45. Jaden Sewer, 50, and Tommy Eisenhuth, 77. Played on the edge, I think. So, yeah, he's a quite achiever, Tommy Eisenhuth, but he's punching out some good Supercoach scores. Okay, just to finish off, onto the third question from Timmy Williams.
Mate, devastating to see Ryan Pappenhausen go down. He's putting on an absolute clinic against the Titans, gone for 4 to 6 weeks. Mate, a lot of owners out there. Who do you think the best replacement is for Lil Pappy?
Geez, tough question to finish off there without knowing who people had with Pappy at fullback. I do see he was 31% owned across the Supercoach game, so he's well owned. He's the most owned fullback from the stats that I saw, Ryan Pappenhausen. So if you have cash and you don't think he'll play play Origin, definitely Edwards is the best option without a doubt. He's almost the highest, well, I think he'd be close to the highest scoring player in the game of Supercoach this year. So if you have freed up cash and you go, oh, look who I'm going to go to, I think you'd need about 300 or 350k to get from Pappy to him. Maybe not that much, but yeah, I think definitely Dylan Edwards is the one to go to. I mean, Turbo Teddy and Walsh most likely play Origin, so it's tough to recommend them. I mean, that leaves Drinkwater, Charles Nickel, Klokstad, and Suafalongo. I'm not sure if he's available in center wing as well, but that might be an option for center wing. But Suafalongo could be the option. You know, you keep it in the Melbourne side of things, and he's electric. He's going to break a lot of tackles. Drinkwater's got a pretty good draw. I mean, Charles Nickel Klokstad's not that appealing because the Warriors are going pretty poor and they're coming into some tough games. So the other ones, but they're also available at centre wing. So, you know, if you want to get him in, you probably get him at centre wing, is Brimson and Garrick and Manu. So, yeah, there's a few options there. The options like Trey Fuller and David Armstrong. Well, if you don't have Trey Fuller, then I wouldn't be getting him in now. And Armstrong, you can get in at centre wing too. So it's probably Suafalongo or Drinky. That's what we come down to. They're probably the best two options to bring in for the injured Ryan Pappenhuyzen. That brings us to the end of the show. Thanks for listening. I'll catch you next week.